حضرت والا عارف باللہ رومی وقت برید دورہ حضرت شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب نور اللہ مرکدہ کلام یہ آہ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں، مدینے کی شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. یہ آہ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں، یہ آہ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں، مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں، مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں، یہ آہ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں، مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں، جسے آپ کا با خبر دیکھتے ہیں، جسے آپ کا با خبر دیکھتے ہیں، اسے غیر سے بے خبر دیکھتے ہیں، مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں، یہ آہ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں، غلامی سے تیری غلامی سے تیری غلاموں کا رتبہ، غلامی سے تیری غلاموں کا رتبہ، ملائک سے بھی فوق تر دیکھتے ہیں، ملائک سے بھی فوق تر دیکھتے ہیں، مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں، یہ آہ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں، یہ آہ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں، مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں، تجلی جو ہے سبز گنبد پہ ہر دم، تجلی جو ہے سبز گنبد پہ ہر دم، اسے رشک شمس و قمر دیکھتے ہیں، اسے رشک شمس و قمر دیکھتے ہیں، جسے آپ کا با خبر دیکھتے ہیں، اسے غیر سے بے خبر دیکھتے ہیں، مدینے کا جغرہ فیا دیکھ کر ہم، مدینے کا جغرہ فیا دیکھ کر ہم، عجب حال قلب و جگر دیکھتے ہیں، عجب حال قلب و جگر دیکھتے ہیں، تصور میں آتا ہے جب سبز گنبد، تصور میں آتا ہے جب سبز گنبد، تو ایمان کو گرم تر دیکھتے ہیں، تو ایمان کو گرم تر دیکھتے ہیں، بفرتے محبت بشوق نظر ہم، بفرت محبت بشوق نظر ہم مدینے کے دیوار و در دیکھتے ہیں، مدینے کے دیوار و در دیکھتے ہیں، ابو بکر و فاروق عثمان و حیدر، ابو بکر و فاروق عثمان و حیدر، تصور میں ہم ان کے گھر دیکھتے ہیں، تصور میں ہم ان کے گھر دیکھتے ہیں، رضی اللہ تعالی ابو بکر و فاروق عثمان و حیدر، تصور میں ہم ان کے گھر دیکھتے ہیں، جو روزے پہ حاضر صلاتی ہوئے ہیں، جو روزے پہ حاضر صلاتی ہوئے ہیں، تو پندار زیر و زبر دیکھتے ہیں، تو پندار زیر و زبر دیکھتے ہیں، جو جالی پہ صلی علی کہہ رہے ہیں، جو جالی پہ صلی علی کہہ رہے ہیں، جو جالی پہ صلی علی کہہ رہے ہیں، اے اختر انہیں چشم تر دیکھتے ہیں، اے اختر انہیں چشم تر دیکھتے ہیں، یہ آہ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں، مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں، یہ آہ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں۔
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد، this wonderful beautiful poem from Dada Sheikh Hazrat Shah Maulana Muhammad Hakim Mukhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, rendered so beautifully by Ijaz. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the reality of this and the desire to go to Medina Munawwara over and over again. Hazrat says, ye aahe sahar ka asar dekhte hai, we are seeing the effects of the cries of the time of Sari. That is, a person is making dua at the time of Sari to go and visit Medina Munawwara, to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a person goes to Medina Munawwara, he is not going out of his own accord. My intelligence, my cleverness, I got money. Because many people who have got money, but they are not allowed to go. It is only the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala grants. Some people, very very poor, they've got nothing in this world. But so many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them to Medina Munawwara. So it's not our own doing. So Hazrat says that we are seeing the effects. Ye aahe sahar ka asar dekhte hai. Person is making dua and is desirous to go to Medina Munawwara. So he makes dua. And Hazrat says, now we are seeing the effects of this dua at the time of study, that we are able to see the morning and evening of Medina Munawwara. Allah Ta'ala has brought us here. It is Allah Ta'ala's great favor upon us. Jise aapka ba-khabar dekhte hai, usse ghair se be-khabar dekhte hai. The person who sees, this can have two meanings. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who gets ma'rifat, recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he becomes completely disinclined from anybody else. Now when he has seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why will his heart turn to anybody else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that if a person takes two of Allah's makhluk in creation, one a very very beautiful woman, the most beautiful woman in the world, and she's in front of him, and next to her there is one dung beetle, beetles which are very very low, and they are next to one another. So he says it is automatic, natural, any human being will choose a beautiful woman. No one will go towards the dung beetle. That thing looks so ugly and filthy. If anybody chooses the dung beetle over that woman, you'll say you're a mad person. He says in a similar manner, you've got a beautiful woman in front and you've got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These two are the creations of Allah ta'ala. There's still some munasabat, some connection between the two of them. But this woman and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is Khalik, the creator. And this is the makhluk. There can never be any similarity. So when a person recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can his heart ever turn to anything of this world? He's a very, very foolish person. So Hazrat says, once a person comes to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he becomes completely unmindful. He doesn't want to turn to anybody else. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ When quality Allah ta'ala says, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, then those who don't believe in akhirat in the year after, their hearts become straightened. But anything else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ They get very, very happy. Sports is discussed, politics is discussed. Anything else besides Allah ta'ala, you see a person becoming happy, excited, he's speaking about it. This is not a good quality. And the quality of a believer is when Allah ta'ala is mentioned, then a person's heart becomes happy. All the time he's thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when people are discussing something else, his heart feels uneasy. I want to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a quality a person has to develop, that we must become ba-khabar, get ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more a person comes to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more his love for Allah ta'ala will increase. And the more the dislike for khairullah, those besides Allah ta'ala will leave a person. The other meaning can be also, whoever knows Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he comes to know the greatness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gets ma'rifat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beauty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then no other human being in this world he will turn his attention to. Once in a Arab country, in a Muslim country, they had a survey. And unfortunately, when they did the survey, who is your role model? All the names of cricketers, film stars, actors, they all came out first. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ranked number 11. In all those places. So the non-Muslim person is writing there and is floating and he says, look, the Muslim country and these people have put their own Nabi number 11. So this is a very, very bad sign. The reason is we do not have ma'rifat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once Hazrat gave a bayan many years ago in Venda or somewhere. And Hazrat mentioned the 8 rights of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first right he mentioned before Iman also is ma'rifat. To recognize who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. See, Hazrat said, if you don't understand who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, then we can't even have proper Iman in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to learn firstly who is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which our Hazrat always encourages us, that to read the Sirat Kitab of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will read the Kitab on Sirat, inshallah by means of this, we will come to know who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, what sifat he had, what qualities he had, what a life he led, what kind of a person he was. And the more we come to know him, then the more our hearts will turn away from anybody else. Then we won't have liking for a sports star, a film actor, and any other person, but our love will be for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will give our lives for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the after Hazrat mentions, غلامی سے تیری غلاموں کا رتبہ ملائک سے بھی فوقتر دیکھتے ہیں. By becoming the servant of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the rank of the servants of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is even higher than that of the angels. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, ulaika, they were living like animals, in fact, worse than animals. So much so that the people of Rome and Persia, they were big kings and rulers of the world. They were not prepared to look and lead the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The Sahaba before accepting Iman and Islam, the people of Jahiliyyah, the Arabs of Jahiliyyah, the people of Persia and Rome were not prepared to rule over them. They were so low. But when they came in the Sohbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they became Sahaba. They became the slaves of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every human being by nature is a slave. We have to be a slave. But we have to decide, you want to be a slave of Allah ta'ala, a slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or a slave of the Western people. A slave, as our Hazrat mentioned once, that we unfortunately have become the slaves of those people who run after their dogs. The kuffar, in the mornings, they take their dogs for a walk. So they are running, and the dog is running in front, they are running behind, and we are following them. So we are the slaves of dogs. Whereas the Sahaba radiallahu anhu was a slave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In there is our honor and our respect. So by becoming a servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those servants, their rank exceeds that of the angels also. This was happened to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And inshallah, whoever will follow in their footsteps, in that path, Allah ta'ala will run at that rank higher than that of the angels also. So a person must become a true servant and slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that will take place by following the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The closer we will get to that lifestyle, and the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And unfortunately, may Allah protect and save all of us, that to have the love of the kuffar and the disbelievers in our heart. As in Mawlana Muhammad Yusuf Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, once somebody told him, that Hazrat, make bad dua for the Christians and the Jews. Udu alayhim, make bad dua against them. They are causing so much of harm to the Muslims and so much of harm to the Muslim countries, the Muslim lands. So Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi made dua. He lifted up his hand. He said, Allahumma akhrijil yahudiyata wa nasraniyata min qulubina. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove this love of Christianity and Judaism from our hearts. That today we hate the Jews and the Christians, but we love their ways. As our Hazrat says, that the people in the past, they used to love the Jews and Christians in this way, that they can give them da'wah, call them towards Iman and Islam. The people they loved, but their lifestyle they hated. We today, we love their lifestyle, but we hate the people. So we should, to remove this, the feelings, the liking for these people, the kuffar, and to get the truth from the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Example, let us look in our own lives. How do we eat at home, for example? Do we follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or do we have a liking in our heart? وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Don't even incline slightly. مَيْلَانَ قَلْبِ also. From the heart also, there mustn't be an inclination towards the ways of the kuffar. You must actually have a dislike for it. That this is not our way. When we see somebody else doing this here, don't look down upon that person. But that lifestyle, that way, we feel uneasy with it. We go to many people go to nikahs. They have these wine glasses. Many people, unfortunately, at home also, just to drink in their wine glasses, Maidid Khan Alayhi Rahmatullah has written, is haram. Because why are you drinking from their wine glasses? And then you got that grape juice, and you are pouring it inside there, just to show like we've got beer and wine. Some people now, you get it's apple juice also, and they also got it in a wine bottle. So they have that wine bottle, and they have that glasses, and it looks like now we are very sophisticated, we are following the kufar way. You enter a nikah place, and they've got all these wine glasses there, they got the grape juice, so people are drinking it. So they are saying that no, it's halal, completely halal. But why are you doing that there? Just because you've got love in your heart for the Western lifestyle. So we should make tawbah istighfar and try slowly to come out completely of the ways of the kuffar, to at least have that hatred in our hearts for them, and to come on to the sunnah tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Hazrat sees many people, when it comes to eating on the floor, they'll eat on the floor, they go in jamaat, come to the khanqah. We go to our homes, then we sit on the table. Or we have our meals, lunch and supper at the floor, but breakfast, we must have the breakfast nook, how the kuffar got it. We must have that small fridges in our homes, where the people open, it looks like a bar fridge. So it looks nice, like we also got like a kind of a bar place in our homes. So we are following their tariqah, their way. A person has a bathroom, his bathroom style must be like their bathroom. This is an open plan nowadays, we have got open plans in our kitchen. Whereas the Islamic lifestyle is a way of haya, of shame, of modesty. Their way is completely different. So in every aspect a person has to look, whether it's our clothing, whether it's our nikahs. Many people say, it's my only son. So my only son, I have to go completely out. No, it's my only son. Let me follow, at least it's one son of mine. Let me follow the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such simplicity, the people will be shocked and say, this is the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Haji Bhai Padhya sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, you heard about him. He said, I only got one son. So I want to follow my son, at least the sunnah tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is the only opportunity I will get to follow that sunnah. So his nikah must be completely according to the sunnah tariqah. So in every part of our life, we must become the ghulam and the slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. تجلی جو ہے سبز گمبت پر پہ ہر دم اسے رشت کے شمس و قمر دیکھتے ہیں. The special mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the tajalli manifestations of Allah ta'ala coming down on the qabr mubarak, on the green dome of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At every moment thousands of Allah ta'ala's mercies are descending upon there. Like how in Kaaba Sharif also Allah ta'ala's special mercy is coming down there, and this is distributed to the whole world. Similarly on the Mubarak body of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala qalbika, on the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the special tajalli of Allah ta'ala is coming down. And by means of this, when a person goes there, then he gets some of that effects which is falling down upon a person. That is why we go to Madinah Munawwara, to get that effects, the special mercy of Allah ta'ala raining upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it comes upon us. By reciting Durood Sharif also, a person gets the effects of that the tajalli, the special mercy of Allah ta'ala which is descending upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such tajalli and manifestations are coming down, the mercies of Allah Ta'ala, that even the sun and the moon, they are envious of this. Our light is nothing compared to the light which is coming down upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and which is spreading throughout the world. And our iman also is joined to that light of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Hazrat mentions, that it was a very great wali of Allah, Sufi, Shaykh Abdul Aziz Dabbal rahmatullah alayhi. And he said that every single believer, his heart is connected to the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, if you don't believe me, I can cut it off. And immediately you will lose your iman. So our hearts are connected to the hearts of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The more we will recite Durood Sharif, the more we will have love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following his sunnahs, this connection will become stronger and stronger. This light in our heart will become stronger and stronger. So this such mercy of Allah Ta'ala is coming down. And one reason when a person goes to Medina Munawwara is to get this tajalliyat of Allah Ta'ala, which is descending upon the Qabr Mubarak, the Mubarak body of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Medina ka geographia dekkar hum ajab hal qalb o jigar dekhte hain. Looking at the geography of Medina Munawwara, just at all the different places in Medina Munawwara, how it is situated, and the different places around Medina Munawwara, our hearts and our souls, they go into a different, complete different trance, because we are in the city of the beloved. When Layla and Majnun, a human being, he is running around and is kissing the walls of his beloved, he says, I love this place so much. How much more shouldn't we have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the place of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanoti rahmatullahi alayhi, when he came out to Medina Munawwara, from far off distance, in that time there wasn't all the pavings, it was all sand and there were stones. He took out his shoes from a great distance away from Medina Munawwara, and from he started walking towards Medina Munawwara. And the person was behind him, he said, I also saw this. I said, in imitation of my Shaykh, let me also take out my shoes. I took out my shoes and I started walking. I just walked for a short while, my legs were paining, they were bruised, they were sore. I quickly put my shoes back on. But Mulana Qasim Nanotwi rahmatullahi, in the love of the Medina Munawwara, he just continued. He said, I was shocked, and now I understood how much of love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he had, the respect and adab, that I'm in the beloved city of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a condition a person overcomes, a person when he's in Medina Munawwara. His heart supposed to have been feeling a different feeling now. I'm in the city of my beloved. Tasawwur mein aata hai jab sabz gumbad to iman ko garam tar dekhte hai. When a person sees, when a person just thinks about the green dome, which comes into his mind, then immediately he feels his iman becoming heated up. His iman is increasing just by thinking of Medina Munawwara, just by thinking about the green dome. Going there is far, far greater. But a person is just thinking and pondering about it. As our Buzurgani Deen have mentioned, that when a person thinks of any wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nur falls up in his heart. So if he's a wali of Allah ta'ala, nur falls up in the heart. So when a person thinks of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how much more nur will fill up? And then a person is thinking of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to a greater extent, there will be an increase in his iman. And on the other hand, if we are thinking of ghair, anybody else, those who are away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously our iman will become lower. It will have an effect on our iman. As al-Hakim al-Ummat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, that he says, if you read the kitabs of pious people, and even if they have written books on dunyavi things, worldly things, they wrote a book on math, a book on science, but they are a person of taqwa and piety, this will have an effect on your iman will increase. And he says, if you read books of impious people, fasiqs and fajirs, immoral people, immodest people, even if they write a kitab on deen, they write, example, a tafsir kitab, or they write a kitab on history or tariq, or of whatever it is, some Islamic kitab, he says this will also have an effect upon a person's iman. A person's iman will go low, just because the effects of that person on the kitab. So when a person is thinking about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person's iman increases at that time. Bafarte mahabbat wa shauq nazar hum Madina ki diwar o dar dekhte hain. With great love, extreme love, not just love, but farte muhabbat, which is called ishq, extreme intense love, and with desire to look, we are looking at the walls of Medina Munawwara, we are looking at every house of Medina Munawwara, because our love connection, this is nisbat, something which is connected to our beloved, also becomes beloved to us. Anything, if a person is falling, he wants to get married, and he's getting married in a certain town, just going past the town, also a person gets a different kind of enjoyment. He knows I'm getting married there, or my nikah is taking place there. And he just wants to look at the house of that person also. Just go past it, whether it's halal or it's haram is a different story. But that person has got that love and that affection, because why, it's got some connection there. Our nisbat is with Medina Munawwara. So every wall of Medina Munawwara, every place of Medina Munawwara, every gali of Medina Munawwara, a person looks with great, great love. Abu Bakr wa Farooq wa Uthman wa Haydar radiallahu anhum. In our minds, we think of the great Sahaba radiallahu anhum, especially Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Usman radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, and we think in our minds of the houses, how they lived around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what simplicity they lived with, and they lived through this world and went out of this world, how they made khidmat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they looked after the deen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when a person goes to Medina Munawwara, it's not just he's going there and he just, I'm going to the masjid, I'm going shopping, but he, in his mind, he must bring all the sacrifices of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how they lived their lives, what efforts the Sahaba radiallahu anhum made there, and especially these four great Sahaba radiallahu anhum. A person goes to the Qabr Mubarak next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is lying Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhum, in Jannatul Baqiyah, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhum is laying there, And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu is not buried in Medina Munawwara, but automatically a person's heart, he starts thinking about the great, great sacrifices in the Battle of Badr, Battle of Uhud, and all the great, great sacrifices which they had made with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter Hazrat says at the ending, جو روزہ پر حاضر سلاطین ہوئے ہیں تو پندار زیر و زبر دیکھتے ہیں. Those great, great kings, people of great honor and respect, they come to the Rauza Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of their pride and their arrogance also, it has to be completely humbled. They are standing in front of the true king. They are not true kings in this world. For a short while, temporary, they are the kings, they are the called kings. But the true king is the king of Medina Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they have to humble themselves. All the pride and arrogance goes away now. They have to come before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they have to present the salam before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat is mentioning here, actually we are going there. Person must get rid of all of his pride and arrogance. He's standing in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To jali pe salli ala keh rahe hai. A akhtar unhi chasht mein tar dekhte hai. A person who is standing by the Mubarak grave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the jali, at the enclosure, and he is reciting the rule upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat says, we see him, the person, tears are flowing from his eyes, and he realizes, I'm standing before my beloved. What an honor I've got. I'm standing before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No other ummah has got this honor. Hazrat mentioned that the Jews, they don't know where they, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is buried. Some say here, some say in another place. Where the other Anbiya alayhi wasalam, there's a lot of ikhtilaf and doubts about them. Even Isa alayhi salam, we know he's gone up into the heavens. The Christians are completely confused where Isa alayhi salam is. They also got their own, according to their beliefs, their own views. But regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no doubt about it. And that is why the Jews and the Christians made a lot of effort many times in history to try and steal the Mubarak body of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah ta'ala made them successful every time. So we are so fortunate, we can actually go to the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, and we can recite Durood Sharif directly to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a person is far away, he recites Durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately, there is an angel who is making gush in the whole world. And they get hold of that durood and they take it to Medina Munawwara and they present it before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is another angel also in Medina Munawwara. He is standing there and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the ears of all of the creation. And when we are reciting durood sharif here, he can hear it in Medina Munawwara. So he gets hold of that durood. So once the salaf is giving to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are presenting, it is presented twice before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and two times Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies to us. That is when we are far away. And when we are close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are at Rauza Mubarak. And we are presenting our salam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is hearing us and he's replying to us. And in the whole masjid, of not only in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the whole masjid, it has expanded. So Allah ta'ala has made the means also, wherever in the masjid and above, a person recites salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answers to it. So what a great honor it is. Only one thing of very, very great importance is, at this point, a person must be very, very, lot of respect he must have. He's standing before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala says, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Don't raise your voice above the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. If you show disrespect to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it must not happen that you lose your iman because of the day. So a person is going in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his cell phone starts ringing, and it's got musical tones there. Or he's standing there and he's taking his camera and he's trying to take a picture of the jali and he's going past while he's reading the route also. He's taking a selfie and he's walking past and now he's got a picture that I took. Or he's standing, this is great disrespect. Imagine if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's alive there. Imagine he's standing in front of you there and now you're standing with a camera and you're walking past. When he says, I have come to destroy pictures, I've been sent to destroy pictures, and you are standing and taking a picture there and you are walking past, the musical tones are going on, and you're doing the selfies, etc. Person has to be very, very careful of showing disrespect in such a Mubarak and blessed place. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Just to end off, I will mention that for those people who are going to, we should all have the desire to go to Medina Munawwara. There should be the desire in every single person's heart. But for those who are not going to Medina Munawwara, how will we get our connection to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Once Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he went to Medina Munawwara and he was standing in front of the Rauza Mubarak and he says, I was feeling shy. I wanted to go forward and closer to the Rauza Mubarak, but I was feeling shy. I'm such a big sinner. How can I go in front and stand before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So I moved up at back. Then I went front again. I pulled myself back. A couple of times it happened. And then I thought to myself that, you know what, you're such a wretched person. You are standing before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can't even go close to him. But he said that my disrespect and my gunas and sins kept me back. I couldn't go forward. I felt very, very shy. Then I heard a voice coming from the Rauza Mubarak. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed me. And he said, Mufti Shafi, that you must go back to your country and you must tell all the people there that there are many, many people who are here in Madinah Munawwara. Physically they are very, very close to me, but in reality they are very, very far away from me because they are not following my sunnahs. And tell them that there are many, many people living very, very far away from me, but in reality they are very, very close to me, and they are the people who are following my sunnahs. So then Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he went back to Pakistan and he started mentioning, he never mentioned his own name, but once he told his son Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib that this incident actually happened to me, and then Mufti Taqi Sahib mentioned it in his bayan. So that's why we know that it happened to Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. This is similar to the hadith when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, is leaving Madinah Munawwara and is going to Yemen, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is walking with him, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, perhaps you won't meet me after this, this is the last time we will meet. You can imagine what hurt must have been going to the heart of Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, how he must have been crying. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him that inna ulan nasi bi yawm al-qiyamah, inna ulan nasi bi al-muttaqoon haythu kanu wa ina kanu. That the people who are closest to me, who I've got the most love and affection for, are those people who have got taqwa, who stay away from sins, wherever they may be, how, in whatever condition they may be, but they've got the quality of taqwa. So for those who are not going to Madinah Munawwara, Allah Ta'ala, all of us give us tawfiq and ability to have the desire to go to Madinah Munawwara, to make dua for it. But if we are not, haven't got the opportunity, then we should at least, while we are far away, two places Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, inna ulan nasibi, those who are closest to me, one he mentions al-muttaqoon, those who have got the quality of taqwa. In the other hadith he mentions, inna ulan nasibi yawm al-qiyamah aktharuhum alayya salatan, who recites the most amount of durood upon me, they are very, very close to me also. So we are far away, we can recite durood sharif in great abundance, and we have the quality of taqwa, inshallah, by means of this, we will get the closest to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq.
Nahmaduhu wa nisalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. In this kitab, Tarbiyata Ashiqani Khuda, that is the letters the Hazrat Murij wrote to Hazrat, and the replies that Hazrat gave, and in which there are great lessons for us to learn. Today we read a letter which Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had written to Hazrat, and the reply which Hazrat had given. Junubi Africa ki ek alim e kabir, one great alim of South Africa, or Hazrat Murshidi Madda Zilluhum ki Khalifa e Ajal, and the great Khalifa of our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab ka khat, the letter of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, جو بوجہ دورہ قلب حضرت والا کے ساتھ سفر ترکی میں شامل نہ ہو سکے who because of a heart attack, heart condition, could not join Hazrat when Hazrat went on his journey to Turkey, to Istanbul, to Konya, to the Qabr Mubarak of Hazrat Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali. At that time, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali also had a heart problem and he could not be together. ان کے اظہار ملال و غم پر he expressed his sorrow and he said that it's a pity that he could not be with Hazrat. Hazrat اقدس کی تسلی و حوصلہ افزائی و بشارتی. But then Hazrat replied and consoled him and gave him glad tidings with regard to that. So the letter of Hazrat مولانا یونس پٹیل صاحب رحمت اللہ علی زبدۃ العارفین is writing to Hazrat that you are the cream of all the arifin. Mujaddid zamana, the mujaddid, the one who has renewed and brought deen properly alive in the time. Arif billah, and the arif of Allah Ta'ala. Sayyidi wa sanadi wa mazharu anwari rabbani, my master, and the one who is the expression of the anwar of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. لا زال الله شموس فيوضكم بازغة. May Allah always let the suns of your face, the sun which is one sun, but not only one, many suns of your face, may it shine all the time. ومتعنا بطول حياتكم, and may Allah let us benefit with your long life. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. He writes to Hazrat. امید مزاج بعافیت ہوگا. I hope inshallah Hazrat that you are well. Allah Ta'ala ke fazal aur karam se aur Hazrat wala ki duaon ki barkat se tabiyat theek ho rahi hai. By the fazal of Allah Ta'ala and the karam of Allah and the duas of you, oh my Hazrat, I'm getting to feel more better. Yeah, important thing to note, many times we err. We say by your barkat and Allah's fazal. First we must say Allah's fazal. And then even the sheikh or whoever it is,
First Allah must be mentioned and then the other person. Allah Ta'ala ka jitna bhi shukar ada karu kam hai. No matter how much I make shukar of Allah, it is less. Ke Allah Ta'ala ne tamam marahil se intihai asani ke saath guzar diya. That all the stages that I went through, the heart attack, and perhaps it was, I don't know, whether there was a bypass or whatever all the stages were, being in hospital, Allah made it all very easy for me. قلب میں کوئی گھبرات پریشانی یا خوف دل کے دورہ کے وقت نہیں ہوا. When I got a heart attack, then I did not have any گھبرات, fear, پریشانی. I wasn't tense or anything, and no fear in my heart, even at the time when I got my heart attack. So really we see, when a person is connected to Allah Ta'ala, then a person, even in that condition, these things happen. But they don't affect him spiritually in his heart. بلکہ حضرت والا کی دعا اور تعلیمات کی برکت سے, but by the duas and the teachings of حضرت, ایک قسم کا چین اور سکون رہا. In fact, I was feeling that there was a feeling of a comfort and ease upon me at that time. زبان پر ذکر ہسپتال میں بھی جاری رہا. While I was in the hospital also, I was making ذکر. دعا فرمائے کہ اللہ تعالی مکمل اخلاص و صحت کے ساتھ دینی خدمات کی توفیق بخشے. And then he requests duas from Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala would complete ikhlas. That is a very great condition, with complete sincerity and help. That Allah gives me the tawfiq to make the khidmat of deen, to serve deen. Or sharfi qabooliyat bi ata farmai. And may Allah Ta'ala accept it also. It is a long letter, but here the first part, now Hazrat is replying to that, and then the other parts follow later on. Hazrat's reply, muhibbi wa mahbubi, my lover and my beloved, wa mukarrami, and my respected. Look at Hazrat also, even for his murid, Maulana Yunus Patel, mashallah, rahmatullah alayhi, his position so high, but Hazrat is Hazrat, but how much he respects also. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There is also an important thing for us to remember, whenever, many times in conversation over the phone, when we meet somebody, we say somebody gave salam. Many times we don't reply to the salam. It is necessary to reply to the salam, to say alayhim, those person who gave salam, alayhi, alayhim, whoever, however it might be, wa alaykum assalam. Also, when a letter comes, like here, when somebody writes salam to you in the letter, then to reply to that salam is also necessary. Yeah, when Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali wrote the letter, he wrote at the beginning, Assalamu Alaikum. So, Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuh. So to reply also accordingly is necessary. So Hazrat writes, Wa Alaikum Assalam Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuh. These are all important points that we should note and learn. Aapko Istanbul mein na paakar dil tarab gaya. When I saw you were not present, when the Maulana was supposed to go, but then he got his heart problem, and because of that he had to cancel his trip. So Hazrat said, I felt very heart sore when you were not there. Magar raza bil qaza ka hal tari karke, but being satisfied with whatever Allah Ta'ala had commanded, whatever Allah's decision is, I made myself happy that whatever Allah has decided, that is what is important. InshaAllah Ta'ala, aapko wajah uzar watan hi mein yahaan ke anwar safar milenge. InshaAllah, though you are at home, in your home country, but because your intention was, because you had this legal, proper, shari excuse, inshallah you will get the anwarat of the safar also, of going to visit Hazrat Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, to be with your shaykh for on this journey. Inshallah you will get that reward and the anwarat, the blessings of that journey as well. Jis hal mein bhi wo rakhte hai, in whichever condition Allah keeps a person, us hal ko akmal dekha hai. I saw that was the best condition. This is a form of Hazrat which Hazrat has written here, and which is that if a person, Allah bless us all with that iman, that in whichever condition Allah keeps us, we see that is the best condition for me. To realize that is the best condition, in whichever condition Allah keeps a person. A person must be Radha bil Qadha, that whatever condition, because Allah, the conditions are all from Allah. They are in the control of Allah. They are sent by Allah. So a person must be happy with those conditions which Allah Ta'ala sent. May Allah let us benefit fully, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, wa kafa wa salamun ala al-badi al-yadun kafa amma ba'd. Sallallahu ta'ala ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani r-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuha al-lazina amin taqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. وقال تعالى قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله صدق الله العظيم. Friends, as per the command of our illustrious Shaykh Hazrat Arif Billah Hazrat Malana Abdul Hamid Sahab Baddazil Ali, Allah give him long life and full shifa, give us tawfiq to benefit from him. As per his command, I'm standing in front of you. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up my heart and my tongue to say what is right. And whatever we say, we are just passing on from our Hazrat Wala. Allah give me first of all tawfiq to practice on what I say, and thereafter everybody else. Friends, the teachings of our Hazrat Wala, that the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should come into our lives. And we heard Hazrat Mullah Musa Qadhi Sahib Mutazilla Ali speaking now elaborately about it, about the importance of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That band of people who were downtrodden and beyond even the limits of animalism, but when they came to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the examiner, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a very, very, very severe imtihan of them, that wazulzilu zilzalan shadida, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shook them such a shaking, balagatil qulubul hanajir, that the heart, so to say, when a person is in fright at that moment, you are driving on the road, and just by a split second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves you from a big catastrophe, from a big tragedy, from a big motor car accident. You say, ah! You say, Allah! And you feel that, you say, my heart came into my mouth. Like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shook them such a shaking, such an examination, that balagatil qulub al hanajir, as if the hearts came into the throats. And what type of thoughts must it, but how they passed that imtihan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then called them rijal. That these were men. These were such people that the glitter of this world did not fool them, it did not beguile them, it did not deceive them, and did not take them away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, these are such type of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people of Iman, and who greater than the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken in front of them, then their hearts tremble. And the iman increases. So these are that type of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what were they before? That when we speak of the ayyam jahiliyyah, when we speak of the days of ignorance, then the first thought comes to mind that these are such people who used to bury their children alive. They used to inherit their mothers. There was absolutely no culture in them. That the powers of the time did not want to rule over them. They said to them that you are our slaves, you are the slaves, you are the servants of our slaves. But when they came to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the examiner. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives the result of the examination. Radiyallahu anhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with them. Waradu anhum. They are happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is when they came to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, before accepting iman, before accepting Islam, out with his sword, on the way to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when he came, then when he submitted to the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he became Amirul Mu'mineen, the first person to be given the title of Amirul Mu'mineen. Now he's ruling over more than 2/3 of the world that was known then. And he says, oh, if only my father was alive today, then I could have told him what Iman gave us, what was the blessing of Iman, what was the blessing and the Nuraniyat, the phase of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me Amir al-Mu'mineen. That when I was young, my father said to me, O Umar, what will you do? That you cannot even tend to the animals, you cannot even graze the sheep. You can't even look after this, then what are you going to do in life? But when it came to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated us to this rank, that today I am Amirul Mu'mineen. He reached that position that many a time wahi came in accordance to the desire of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. According to his opinion, whatever he suggested, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi in accordance to that. That is when we will come to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Friends, we were reading kitab the other day through the barakat of our Shaykh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, give us sincerity. Reading regarding the sunnah method of sleeping of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now sleep is that aspect that a person spends 5, 6, 8 hours a day sleeping. If we total just 1/3 of a person's 24 hours, include childhood, if a person's got to live for 60 years, 70 years, it means that he has more than 20 to 22 years of his life has gone in sleeping. And sleep, a noum uqtul maut, that sleep is the sister of death. When a person is sleeping, he is in that condition that he does not know what is going on. Many a person like myself is going to a deep sleep, lift the whole bag and put it outside, nobody will even know. People can make fun of you, put something on your eyes, on your ears, this, that. You're in that condition. And how much of our life is going in that condition? But this, which is a necessity of life, that we cannot do without it. If we do it in a conformity and in accordance with the teaching of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then even this will be counted in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while last night was when we were reading the kitab, and the thought came of the teaching of our illustrious Dada Shaykh Hazrat Alif Billah Rumiya Zamana Tabrizi Waqt Shah Muhammad Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, that when we're coming out of the toilet and we read the dua, we say Ghufranak, that Allah, we seek your pardon. Allah, we seek your forgiveness. Now this is the necessity of life. A person has to go to the toilet. You have to relieve yourself. There's nobody who can say that I've never been to the toilet. I will never have this need or this urge. I can stay without it. That is such a time that you just have to go and relieve yourself. Now you haven't done anything wrong then. But you're coming out that I was just in, oh Allah, in such a place that I couldn't take your name. I couldn't even, if the adhan was going, I couldn't even reply to the adhan. And not only that, even if I had to think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willfully, it's fear that I can lose my iman, I was at such a place. But it's a necessity of life. But so Allah, I was completing this necessity of life, and in that time that I couldn't remember you, I'm seeking your pardon for that. Ghufranak, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh, I ask your pardon, I ask your forgiveness. So, necessities of life, things which a person cannot do without, that also can be included in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the object of life, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world, that we should recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Uzkurullaha dhikran kathira, that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a remembrance which is in abundance. And again, as with the teaching of our illustrious Shaykh, makes it so very easy that if you can only learn all the masnoon du'as, that you woke up in the morning, read the du'a. You went to toilet, read the du'a. You came out of the toilet, read the du'a. You're making the wudu, read the du'a. Read the masnoon du'a. Read the du'a after the wudu. You're wearing your clothes, read the du'a. You're getting into the car, into your conveyance, read the du'a. You're looking into the mirror, read the du'a. And it's not difficult at all. When a person will make this his habit, when a person will make this his way of life, then automatically without thinking, without even a second thought, a person won't have to put in any effort. It will become, not to say second nature, it will become a person's nature. It will become so easy, and this is the object of life, that in our daily life, we are not malaika, we are not angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon our heads responsibilities. We have to look after the family, we have to complete our responsibility, whatever the case may be. But with all that, we are engaged in our work. But we are doing it in conformity in the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are conducting business, we are talking to an elderly person, talking to a youngster, we are in public life, private life. Allah give me tawfiq first of all to realize what I am saying and then to practice upon it. So all this that we are that we do, if we do it shown to us in the way by Rasulullah, shown to us by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this will be complete. This will be counted as iman, as ibadat and worship of Allah subhanahu wa taala. So the sleep. A person, there are only one of four positions that a person can sleep in. Either on his back, or his stomach, or the left, or the right side. And the kitab that we're reading is mentioned so beautifully that to sleep on the stomach, this is prohibited. One time, one Sahabi was sleeping, laying on his stomach. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and with his Mubarak foot, shook him and said, "Do not sleep in this way. This is the position of shaitan. Shaitan sleeps in this way." In another riwayat, according to the kitab, it said that this is the position of the inmates of Jahannam. When a person will be dragged into the fire of Jahannam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, then in a humiliating way, in a very disgraced manner, on his stomach, on his face, headlong will be dragged into the fire of Jahannam. The people of Jahannam, this will be their position. So do not sleep in that way. To sleep on the left hand side, this generally is the position of arrogant and pompous people, proud people. When they sleep on the left hand side. And it is written in the kitab that because of the pressure of the heart, of the entire body, now a person will have bad dreams. A person will have nightmares, etc. You won't have a restful sleep. And the third position is that to sleep on the back. Many a person who is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, generally when it is not sleeping time, just resting for a little while, then they sleep on the back and they ponder in the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the stars, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the body. It gives a person the time to contemplate. And tafakkur sa'atin khayrun min qiyam laylatin. To ponder in the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a split second, for a split moment, is better than standing up for an entire night. Not to say that we shouldn't make the effort of standing up in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but just as a comparison. So that is the one position. And of course then the fourth position is to sleep on the right hand side, with the right hand below the right cheek. Is hafazait. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with understanding. Give me first of all tawfiq to practice on what I have said, to realize, to rebarkat of our illustrious shaykh. Allah give us tawfiq to practice and to bring it into our lives, to make it our nature.